Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's go to John chapter 14 tonight. What are you going to talk about tonight? Well, I'm going to talk about peace and how to have it. How to have peace. You know, there's a lot of peace thieves right now in our world. The news media, politics, Facebook, all of that. It'll steal your peace if you allow it to steal your peace. And, you know, and Jesus said that peace would be a rare commodity in the last days. He said it would be hard to get a hold of. It'd be hard to find. Matter of fact, he said in Luke's gospel, he said that men's hearts would fail them for fear. And so, you know, if we're going to walk in peace, then we're going to have to know how to do it. So what I'm going to talk about tonight, just for a little while, and is this on how to have peace. And we're going to share with you five things that calls us to have and walk in peace. Is that all right? Amen. I'm assuming we're going to get through five. If we're not, I'll be back again next Wednesday night. All right? Now, I hope you will be. You know, let's go here to John's Gospel, chapter 14. We'll read one verse here, and then in a little bit we'll go to chapter 16 of John. But Jesus said in verse 27, he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace." Now, this is his peace. I said, this is his peace. And we think he probably had some peace about him. "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives." Now, you know, the world promises you peace through a lot of goofy things, you know. I think one of the goofiest ones I saw, I've talked about this, but I still remember it from years ago. I was looking at our local paper. I think it might have been maybe one of the local papers around here. And, you know, and they had an advertisement in there from the funeral home. I don't know which one it was. It doesn't matter. And it was peace through a prepaid burial plot. And I thought, you know, it doesn't really give me a whole lot of peace to know there's a hoe out there waiting on me. I've got my hoe paid for. Drive by and show your wife, "Honey, that's where I'm going to be at," you know. I don't see any peace in that. But I'll tell you what gives me peace, knowing if I do go in that, I'm coming out. Amen. You know what I mean? My body's coming out. So that gives me peace, you know. And then there's peace, you know, you see all kinds of things, peace through this, peace through that. You know, I lived through the peace movement, you know, the hippie peace movement and all that. It didn't produce any peace. It just produced violence and agitation, and grief and death and destruction and all that, because there's no peace. The world doesn't have any peace to give you. But Jesus said, "I'm going to give you my peace." Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not as the world gives. This isn't going to be some kind of phony, flippant, you know, this surface thing. Because, you know, I mean, listen, I mean, you know, people say, "Well, you know, I got life insurance, so I got a lot of peace about that." Well, I got life insurance, but, you know, and I'm glad I do. You know, if I went to heaven, I want to make sure Miss Phyllis is taken care of. Amen. Amen. You know, that's why I don't have a parsonage. I'm never going to have a parsonage, because if I die, then, you know, I know you're nice people, but you're going to boot her out for the next pastor. And I'm not going to leave her that way. So forget the parsonage thing. I have to forget it. I won't have one. Well, thank you. Amen. But I'm thinking about my wife. Amen. You know, church owns a, you know, because it's been brought up, "Well, Pastor, why don't you let church buy a house and then, you know, you can live." "Oh, no, you're not buying me any house. I'll buy my own house. That way, when I'm gone, my wife's still got a place to live." Amen. I know church people, they'd let her live under a bridge. But anyway, you know. Not you kind, not our kind of church people. But I just dealt with people in the past. They don't really show much honor sometimes. You don't take care of the men and women of God like they should. Amen. You know, I see that. I'm not, you guys do, but I'm just saying because you're taught. But I'm just talking about as a general whole, as a church, you know, I mean, they'll do that. You know, a pastor may pastor a church for 50 years and then he passes away and they kick his wife out of the parsonage without any money. Well, that's good preaching. Hallelujah. That has nothing to do with my message except the fact I don't have any peace about, you know, I'm glad I got life insurance. I'm, you know, the world say, you know, just have peace of mind because you got, you know, your money in order and all that. Well, let me just tell you something. You know, we're not believing this, but your money could, it could all wave goodbye tomorrow. We've seen that happen. You know, where the stock market just poof, and it's all gone. Man, we see people jumping out of buildings and everything else. Your peace better not be in that. It better be in something more stable than that. Amen?
Amen.
So Jesus said, I'm not giving you peace like the world gives.
Come on now.
Hallelujah. Now notice this, verse 27 again, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now I mean, it's up to us. He said, you let not your heart be troubled, you let not your heart be afraid. In other words, Jesus has given us his peace, but we have something to do with it, whether we're actually going to walk in it and possess it. It's up to us. What we do, we don't do the right things, then we won't possess it. Now, John 16:33, these are probably the only two scriptures we may read tonight, but they're powerful scriptures, and we need to know peace. You know, listen to me. You know, there's a lot of things the world pushes for peace. You know, now we've got the vaccine for the COVID thing. Thank God for that. I'm not against the vaccine. I'm not preaching against it, but I'm just telling you, you better trust God, because once this thing's done, who knows what else comes. You know what I mean? Oh my gosh, Pastor, don't say that. Well, you know, hey, we're in the last days, folks. Amen. Pestilences and everything else are coming our way, but we're redeemed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I'll never forget. Now, I'm shooting for God's best. How about you?
Yes.
I want his best. I don't want just... But I thank God for every little bit of help I get from him. But God's got the best for us, but, you know, sometimes we don't always walk in the very best he has, but he'll help us wherever we're at. And I remember years ago, I don't know what year it was, but it was probably in the 1990s, late 90s maybe. Could have been the early 2000s, but I think it was late 90s. And, man, there was a big-time flu. I don't know what you call the epidemic or whatever. Came in our area, and I mean, you got people, they're getting sick, and they're out for 2 weeks. I'm talking about just people out in the world. I mean, it's knocking them out. I don't remember what year it was, but it was a really heavy, heavy flu strain or whatever, however you say it, that year. And I went to the Lord about it, because we were hitting people, and some of our people were getting that flu. And I went to God about it, and I said, Lord, what about this? I'm preaching on healing. I preach on healing. We believe in healing here. And he said something to me I will never forget. He said, did you notice that the world's been out? When they get this, they're gone. They're out for 2 weeks, and your people's only been gone for 3 days. I thought, well, yeah, I never thought of that. Most people in our church that got it with maybe 3 days, and they were well. But the world was like 2 weeks. I thought, well, we're gaining on it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I mean, that's not perfect, but I want to get to the place that doesn't even touch us. Come on, are you with me? I mean, I'm not just satisfied with, you know, that. I'm happy about that, but I'm not satisfied with that. I don't want it touching me. Amen. Now, John 16:33, go there. Jesus said, these things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, you're going to have, there's going to be tribulation. You'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So Jesus said, look, he said, I spoke these things unto you because I want you to have peace. And he said, in me, you can have peace. In me, you can have peace. But in the world, there's going to be tribulation. There's going to be a mess. But he's saying, I have overcome the mess in the world. And if you, now notice what he's saying, you got to get this, because if you miss this, see, he said, these things I've spoken unto you that in me, everybody say in me. Say in Jesus. You might have peace. In the world, there's going to be tribulation. So what is he saying? He's saying, look, if you make this thing about me, you're going to have peace. If you make it about the world, you're going to have tribulation. It just depends on who you make it about. See, people that don't know just don't know, but those of us that have been informed, I mean, you know, we should be walking in some things a little bit higher than the world, right? Amen. There are all kinds of people that freak out over what happens in the world. Us believers shouldn't. We ought to make it about him, not about the tribulation of the world. He's overcome all that mess. All the coronavirus, all the destruction, all the damnation, all the things going on in the world, Jesus already overcome that. And we're in him.
Amen.
Now we need to make it about him, not about that.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And I'm not saying, listen, you know, with the coronavirus thing, you know what I told you. You take all the precautions that you're happy with, but don't let the fear of that thing get on you. I mean, it's almost gone now, I guess, the way it sounds. But anyway, but don't let the fear of any of that stuff get on you. Don't let that get on you. You do whatever you feel good about doing, but don't let it get on you. I said this, it's not changing my life. It's not changing my, are you with me? I'm not living in a cave. I'm not hiding. Come on. I'm going to keep living life. Praise God. Amen. Are you with me now? Yes. Amen. You know, hallelujah. Well, that's just good preaching. But, you know, Isaiah said this. He said, the Lord said, I've given you a covenant of peace. In other words, there's a covenant. We have a covenant with God of peace. God wants us to have peace. Hallelujah. And Jesus gave us his peace. Now think about that. I mean, you got to know that every Christian is walking in his peace or his joy, right? You know, and sometimes we all have struggles here, and we have to, what do they say, buck it up, buckaroo? Kind of got to buck it up and step it up a little bit. Amen? So let me share with you these things, and this is what I have for you tonight. Let me share with you the things that's going to determine whether you have peace or not, whether you walk in this peace. Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't want to walk in it. You know, there's a big difference between what you have and what you walk in. I think this is where Christians get confused. They say, well, if this is so, why doesn't every Christian have it? You know, if God wants you healed, why aren't I healed? Well, you have to possess it. You have to walk in it. You know what I'm saying? If things were automatic, then everybody would automatically get saved. I mean, Jesus has paid the price for the whole world to be saved. He's already done it. But it has to be appropriated is a good way to say it. You have to appropriate it, right? I'm telling you, the Lord wants everybody baptized in the Holy Spirit. But you have to appropriate it. And there's a lot of people never do. And they miss that dimension of Christianity because they don't ever appropriate it. But it's theirs. Amen. And so that's the same way with the peace. It's ours, but we have to appropriate. We have to do things to possess it. We could say it that way. All right? So, or to determine whether we're going to walk in it. Now, let me give you five things. You ready? All right, we're gonna get through these five things. Number one, if you're gonna have peace, your prayer life will determine if you have peace. Your prayer life will determine if you have peace. The scripture for that is Philippians 4:6-7, where Paul said, you know, don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So what Paul's saying is you can either pray or you can worry. If you don't have a prayer life, an established prayer life, then you're gonna miss some peace in your life, because you literally transfer the load in prayer. That's what he's saying. You know, the loads of life come on you, but one way we transfer it is through prayer. Hallelujah. And so So if you don't have a prayer life, you're going to be lacking in peace. And I'm not talking about just some kind of, you know, slipshod thing, you know, where you, yeah, I pray every day over the meal. No, I think Paul's talking about something deeper than that. Amen. You know, there was a survey years ago about how long preachers in America prayed, and the average was about 15 minutes. I don't remember if it was a week or a day, but all of it was too short for me. You know what I'm saying? And so, I mean, I'm not legalistic about it. You don't have to get legalistic about it. But, man, you got to have an ongoing prayer life, a vibrant thing going on where you're transferring that load. You know what I'm saying? Things come on you. And Paul said the way you transfer the load is by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I mean, you can't get away from it. I mean, how many of you got to do what the Bible says to have what the Bible promises?
Amen. That's right.
You know, if you don't do it, then amen. Oh, Thank God. I love finding out things in this. You know, I'm not an instruction reader per se, but I like to read these instructions. You know, I just got a new phone for my office, and like I'm sitting there yesterday, I think it was, or maybe it was Monday, I can't remember. I got it hooked up, and it's like there's a whole book. I said, this is a stupid phone. All I want to do is punch some numbers and talk to somebody. Why do I need a book? I'm not reading that book. Really, I didn't. I thought, man, I'm not smart enough to figure this out by now. Amen. I mean, you know, it's a landline phone. You know what I mean? You can't carry it around with you. You have to leave it on the desk. You know, you pick it up and it goes zzzz. You know, it gives you a dial tone. Some of you don't even know what that kind of phone is. All right. Anyway, it's that kind of phone. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm thinking, man, we've come to this. So we got to write a whole book about how to use a stupid phone. Now, I'm not reading that, but this book right here, I want to read it. I'm here with me because I don't want to miss any instructions out of this one. That phone, I don't care. If I can dial Dustin with that phone or whoever, I'm good. I don't need to know about the rest of it, you know. Amen. You know, it's got like the speed dial thing and all the other things, you know, where you can put people's numbers in there. I was like, we don't remember anybody's number now. You don't even know your own number. I mean, we don't have to now, you know. All right, praise God. So your prayer life is going to determine if you have peace. Number two, your thought life will determine if you have peace. Your thought life. See, you can literally destroy your peace by your thinking. Now, see, Isaiah, I'm giving you scriptures. We're not going to look at them, but you can write them down if you want to. Look at them later. Isaiah said, you'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Now, that word stayed means lean upon. In other words, your mind's leaned upon God, not on the world.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
You know, I don't, you know, I'm not, I don't take the world's advice as final for anything. I've just learned that. Some people take whoever the news wants to put in front of you as the specialist in that area, whether it's the financial field, the medical field, or whatever field. People just like the gospel. You know what I'm saying? During this pandemic, one man was running the whole stinking nation. I mean, I don't take any, and he may have been right about some things, don't misunderstand me, but I don't take anybody's word as final. I take God's word as final. You know, all these experts, you know, and experts. Amen. What was it my friend used to say? He said, expert. You know, a spurt is a drip under pressure. An X is a has-been. Okay, put that together. It's a has-been that's under pressure. All right. You know, no, see, you see what I'm saying? We're not, you know, thank God for what people know. Don't misunderstand me. Thank God for what they know. But I don't take that as final authority. I know the Holy Ghost knows more than these people do. Amen.
Amen.
And you ever notice how they keep moving the goalpost on you on things? You know, one day it's this, and the next day, well, it's this. It's like, well, you don't know. Because truth doesn't change. You may think you know, and you may be pretty good at what you're doing, but you're not God. Amen. You know, we got our government now trying to act like God. Tell us what we can think or speak or talk. I don't think so. You're not God.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. You're not even constitutional.
Come on, God. That's right.
Let alone God. So, you know, amen. The Word tells us what to think, right? So your thought life. Paul said to the church at Philippi, he said, think on good things. Meditate on those. If you don't do that, you're not going to have peace. If you're going to sit there and think about, oh my gosh, all the things that the bad news and all that's coming, if that's what your mind's filled with, then the peace won't be there. You won't have peace. You got to kick that out and say, no, I bring that thought into captivity. Amen.
Amen.
You know, I had a minister that I knew. When I say I knew him, I still know him. He's just in heaven now. But, you know, I mean, he was complaining about gas prices one day, you know. They were like, this is in a time when they shot up to like $4 or higher than that, whatever. He's out in California. It might have been $5 or whatever. And that's where he was from. And, you know, and the Lord just really basically spoke to him and said, here you are. You're this big preacher preaching about how God meets your needs and all that. And then you're belly aching about $4 gas. That'll straighten you out, won't it? Amen. But your thoughts, you can be thinking things and it'll rob you of your peace. You can't. Anything that's robbing you of peace, that's not of God. Right. Kick that thing out. Right. Amen. Kick it out. Romans 8:6 says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So you can either, now listen, your thought life is going to determine if you have peace. You can either be carnal, you can either have carnal death thinking, or you can have spiritual life thinking. It's up to you what you allow to stay in your mind. We've told you before, you can't help what comes to your mind, but you can evict some things.
Amen.
You can kick them out. Amen. You ever get critters in the house? Like a snake or a dog or something? Neighbor's dog? You keep a pig or whatever? You guys are too city-fied. You know, well, I am now, but you know, you get stuff in the house sometimes, you know, mice. So you evict them. Right? I mean, you remember living out in the country years ago, we'd get mice, man. And, cats supposed to, but some of these cats are lazy now. They get fed too much. And they just lay around. We had one, man, I'll tell you, but we had 7 mice in the attic one time and a cat laying out in the garage letting them come and go. So, you about to get fired. That's your job, you know what I'm saying? But you know what you're going to do? You're going to evict them, right? You kick them out. Is that right? Now, you know, if they're outside, I'm cool with you. I'm not going to bother you. But you get in my house, I didn't invite you in. Man, I don't like killing mice. I love animals. I like mice. But when they get in my house, I'm evicting them. If they stay outside in the yard, they can play out in the yard all they want to. They can play on my porch. I don't care. Just don't come in. Amen. See, you have to evict some things that come into your mind. Are you with me now? So your thought life's going to determine if you have peace. If you don't get control of that, you won't have peace. You won't have peace. Number 3, the Word will determine if you have peace. The Word of God. See, you're either going to listen to the Word or you're going to listen to the world. All of us are. We're going to listen to one or the other. Somebody's going to be speaking in our life. Amen. You know, you get around your unsaved relatives, and all they want to talk about what's the world saying. You get around people like us, we ought to talk about what the Word's saying. Now, what does that mean? That means we're going to have to stay full of the Word. Amen. If we're going to have peace, we've got to fill ourselves with God's Word. Right. I mean, there's a story in the Gospels where Jesus went to Martha and Mary's house. Remember that story? He went to Martha and Mary's house, and Martha is in there in the kitchen making food. Jesus is in the living room or wherever teaching. And, you know, Martha comes in there and says to Jesus, don't you care that my sister's left me alone to fix all this food? And because she's in there sitting listening to the Word. And I love Jesus' response. He didn't say, well, Mary, get in there and help your sister. He said, Martha, you're troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. What was he saying? You lost your peace because you chose the beans instead of the Word. Amen. Help me understand, Jesus wasn't like okay with Martha losing her peace. See, he said one thing is needful. What's the one thing that was needful? The Word. And Mary's chosen that good part, which won't be taken away from her. She's not going to lose her peace. Amen. So we either listen to the world or we listen to the Word. Sometimes you get too much of a mixture. Listen now. Listen to what I'm saying. I've had this happen in my own life where I'm listening too much to the voice of the world or the voice of the news. And Deuteronomy tells us, don't mingle your seed or you'll defile your harvest. So you get too much mingle in there. You got to learn what your own level of tolerance is for the news. You got to learn. You don't learn that. I agree with that. It's about zero right now. But you know, sometimes, now listen to me. I'm just having too many Christians that I run into, and I'm not talking about anybody present here, and I mean that. But I'm just Christians I run into, all they comes out of their mouth is the latest news story. And I think you're just too full of it, too full of the news. It's no wonder you don't have any peace. If you're following the news more than your Bible, you got some problems. You're going to have some trouble in your life, because it's all bad news or lies or distortions. I learned a long time ago, way back in the 80s, that the media, you know, they'll distort big time. Amen. I learned that, man. I saw that, you know, firsthand how they'll do that. They'll take a story and blow it up so big like it's so bad. They've got people believing that, you know, America's got problems that America doesn't really have.
That's right. That's good preaching.
Truthfully. Come on, are you with me tonight? See, there's things that they're telling us that we got. They're just trying to stir up problems and trouble. Or they're just trying to sell their business, that's all. Amen. You know, we don't have those issues. I mean, you know, I'm not saying there's not any issues, but not like the magnitude of the level they're saying it is. Amen. It's just not there.
Praise God.
All right, praise God. Most people I meet in the United States of America are pretty good people. And I've met them from a lot of different places in a lot of different states.
That's right.
I went to one state, you know, and it's got a reputation for not being the greatest place on the planet. And I went to one state and was there for several days. And you know what I found out? Most of the people I met were wonderful, sweet people.
That's right.
That's just who they are.
Yeah. That's right.
But if you'd listen to the media, about half of us, or more than half of us, three quarters of us, are racist devils, bigots, and everything else. You just need to shut an ear to that, because it's just not. There are people that have those issues, and there's always going to be people that have those issues. But not like the level they say. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, so if you want peace, how many know you got to follow the Word? You got to fill yourself with the Word. David said, great peace have they that love your law, your Word. And so you want peace? Fall in love with the Word. All right, come on. Number four. All right, number four. Your faith will determine if you have peace. You're either going to face life with faith or you're going to face life with fear.
Yeah.
It's really up to you. But Paul said that there's joy and peace in believing. Mm-hmm. So you can either choose to believe that things are going to work out, or you can choose to believe that they're not going to work out. It's really up to you. If you choose to believe they're going to work out, then God's able to help you.
Yeah.
Amen. You know what? Faith changes you on the inside for whatever changes your outside. If you're really in faith, there's joy and peace in your life.
Yeah.
I mean, you just can't help it. You're expectant, you know. And so, you know, I mean, I'm not talking about burying your head in the sand and acting like things don't exist and all that. I'm just talking about choosing to believe that God's on your side and things are going to work out for your good. Amen. So you know, our faith's going to determine. So it's important that we build our faith up every day, that we feed our faith.
Yes.
Feed, you know, take time in the Word to feed your faith. Amen. So you got some faith about you. Amen.
Praise God.
So, you know, because I've just learned that if you just trust God, He's got a way of getting things done.
Right.
That's sometimes beyond what you even expected. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, generally, He can do things better than you can. Would you agree with that statement? How many know that's really an understatement, isn't it? Generally, He can do things. How many know He can always do things? I looked at something that Brother Osteen said, John Osteen, you know, Dad Osteen. He's in heaven, you know. He was a great preacher. If you never heard any of his messages, just Google John Osteen online and listen to some of his teachings. You find out that he had it together, man. And so, but he was Dr. Barclay's pastor, And he told Dr. Berkeley, he said, you know, the greatest thing I've learned is that God's smarter than John. Well, how many know that's a good day when you learn that, that God's smarter than you. And so if you'll just trust him, he'll work it out. I mean, if you're really trusting him, you know what I'm saying? If you're really trusting him. Amen. Now, finally, come on, did you get something today? All right, a little different, but it's good for us. Amen. Finally, your words will determine if you have peace. You can lose your peace by your words. You can start wars by your words. You know, I felt so bad this week. I insulted a guy. I didn't know I was talking to a real guy. And really, I didn't. I thought I was talking to an animated thing, you know, one of those, you know, animated calls, you know. Yeah, I thought it was animated, you know, because it said this is a recorded call. I thought, well, okay, it's a recording, you know. So he asked me a question. I said, it's none of your business. Yeah, you know, and I'm thinking, and then, you know, the guy said, well, we can't help you, and hung up. And I thought, wait, I was talking to a real guy here. I thought I was talking to a dummy, you know, or something. And, but, you know, I thought, well, I hope he doesn't know who I am. You know, doesn't Google it, because there's not too many Mark Pearls in America that spell it P-U-R-L. So it's pretty easy to find out who I am and what I do. Just Google my name, because it'll come up. But anyway, but you know what? You can do that in your marriage. You can do that, you know, with at work. You can do that with people. Your words, man, can determine whether you have peace or not. And the way you talk about your life will determine whether you have peace or not. Whether you, you know, you can talk, and a lot of people think, well, I don't just believe in putting on. Well, you need to speak in line with God's word. And a lot of people talk negative about their life all the time, and they wonder why they don't have any peace. You got to say what, you got to find out what God said about you. Amen. See, the Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So we can speak death or we can speak life. You know, you can choose your words, and you need to choose your words wisely.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. So you have to understand that, you know, these are things that are going to determine whether we actually walk in Jesus' peace or not. I mean, think about it. I'm going to give them to you again. Number one, your prayer life. Do you have a prayer life? If you don't have a prayer life, you're going to have a hard time maintaining your peace. Because Paul said peace comes that way. Are you watching your thought life? Paul said peace comes that way. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Are you filling yourself with the Word? The Word determines whether you have peace or not. So you can be one of, like Jesus told Martha in the Word, he said that you are troubled about many things. There's many things to be troubled about. We live in a society that's full of many things. Things are not simple like they used to be. You know, one of the things I don't like to go to a new restaurant and it's got like a 6-page menu. Because it's like, there's too many things here. And so one of my friends was at In-N-Out Burger. One of my preacher friends was at In-N-Out Burger. And they have like a menu, you know, it's cheeseburger, hamburger, cheeseburger, hot dog. They took a picture of that menu and sent him. Now, here's a menu you'll like. But yeah, man, yeah, you know what I'm saying. You know, because there's just too many things. I mean, think about it. You know, I mean, when I was a kid growing up, we had like 3 or 4 TV stations. We had ABC, CBS, NBC, and then PBS came along eventually. And you couldn't always get all of them. You just get, you know, we would get, where I lived at, we'd get CBS out of Terre Haute, and the others out of Evansville. And you had to have an antenna, you know, and you had to move the antenna. You had to get up there and move it. And, of course, you know, we didn't have the remote stuff in those days where you push the button and all. Dad used the kids for a remote. And, you know, that's just the way he felt. I had you kids for a reason. And so he would make us go move the antenna. If he wanted to watch Gunsmoke, it was on CBS. And so he always liked to watch Gunsmoke. So if you're watching ABC, then you have to climb the antenna tower and get up there, you know, with one of those tower things. And you had to climb it, get up there and move the antenna around. And so one of us would get up there on the tower, and one would get by the door, and their dad would say, turn it. And they'd say, turn it. you know, and you just turned it till Dad said, stop, stop. And that's the way you got, you didn't have a whole lot of choices. So there wasn't a lot of confusion going on. You know what I'm talking about? You didn't have all these, you know, things that were, I mean, you know, you go into a restaurant today and there's like 35 ways to get your hamburger. I mean, if you'd have told us, you know, you put macaroni in your hamburger back when I was a kid, we'd have said, you're a nut. But now you can get a mac and cheeseburger, you know what I'm saying? You can get waffles with chicken on them. I mean, who thought of that? That's just somebody didn't have anything to do. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, really, you think about it. I mean, you don't stick chicken on your waffles. You stick peanut butter and syrup on your waffles. Not chicken. Well, anyway, you know what I'm saying? You got all these choices and so forth. Well, life gets that way, man. There's just, you know, we live in a time there's just so many things coming at you. And if you focus on those things, then you lose your peace. You got to focus on, see, Jesus didn't say a bunch of things are needful. He said one thing's needful. I'm talking about one thing. Everybody say one thing. So he said, you can simple this down. Martha, you don't need to be thinking about beans and tacos and everything. One thing's needful. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
That's good preaching. Yes. Now, remember, so the word's going to determine if you have peace. Number four, your faith's going to determine if you have peace. You got to have some faith about you.
That's right.
Amen. You got to have some faith about you. And because faith changes you on the inside, and then it'll change the outside. Number five, your words are going to determine whether you have peace. You can speak life, you can speak death. Got Isaiah, the Lord said in Isaiah, I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace. Amen? So we got to watch what we speak over our life. Don't speak death, don't speak sickness. You know, you set things in motion that sometimes that messes your life up. You know, I'll close with this. Brother Hagin told a story when he was alive, on the earth, that is. He said, you know, he said one time a pastor in the Tulsa area asked him, said, you know, he said, would you come by and pray for one of my people that's in the hospital? And Brother Hagin said, yeah, when I get out of school, I'll come by and pray for him. And Brother Hagin went to the hospital to pray for him. And the Lord said to him, he said, laws have been set in motion which cannot now be changed. He thought, well, I don't know what that means. So the pastor said to him, he called him Doc. He said, Doc, did the Lord say something to you? He said, well, the Lord told me that laws have been set in motion that cannot now be changed. And that pastor said, well, you know what? That's what I felt. I felt like he's going to die. Now, that's not unbelief. That's just being realistic about what the Spirit's saying. Right? Now, it's not that the Spirit's pronouncing that over him. He's just telling you what's going to happen. Come on, you got to live with this long enough. The Spirit doesn't always tell you, you know, it's going to turn out all right. Sometimes he'll tell you it's not going to turn out. It's not that that's the way he wants it. He'll just tell you what's going to happen.
Right.
Amen. You know, don't let me forget that story, okay? But I remember a time I was praying for a guy had an accident. I loved the guy dearly, and I was praying for him to live. And you know, seemingly he started getting better, and then all of a sudden, just out of the blue, he died. He's young. I mean, you know, he's in his 40s. And so I went to the Lord about it, and here's what the Lord told me. He said it was the best time for him to come home. Think about this. It wasn't the will of God. Come on now, listen to me. I'm not saying this was the will of God. I'm telling you what the Spirit said about the situation. He said to me, he's lived for me, he's backslid. He's lived for me, he's backslid. He's had this accident. He got near death. He got right. He said, if he lived on, he'd just backslide again. And he might not have this chance again to be right with me. He's right with me. It's the best time for him to come home.
Wow.
It's awful quiet in this Pentecostal Presbyterian church. But anyway, What, that wasn't God saying that's my plan for him. That wasn't what God was saying. He was saying that under the circumstances, this is what this man chose. This is how this man chose to live his life. So, I'm going to let him come on home because he's ready to come home. And if I heal him and he lives, he'll backslide again. And he might die unsaved. See, that was his choice, not God's choice. God's choice was for him to be healed and live a healthy, strong, Christian, vibrant life.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So anyway, back to Brother Hagin's story. Brother Hagin said, this guy was 39 years old and he died. So Brother Hagin went to the funeral, and the pastor's, when he gets there, the pastor said, I want you to talk to his older brother and hear what he has to say about this. And he said, tell the older brother what the Lord said to you. So Brother Hagin said, well, the Lord said to me, he's set laws in motion that cannot now be reversed. Brother Hagin said, I didn't know what that means. His brother, older brother, said, oh, I know exactly what it means. He said, all of his life, he said, I won't live to be 40 years old. Well, he was 39 and he died. Power of the tongue. Who set those laws in motion? He did. Now, why couldn't they be reversed? Because he was unconscious. He was in a coma. He couldn't reverse them. He couldn't talk. So he ate the fruit of his own words. See, that Proverbs, death and life and the power of the tongue, the scripture before that says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the harvest of his lips shall he be filled. This guy harvested off his lips. See, that wasn't God's will for his life. But he did die and go to heaven. And how many know that beats going to hell?
That's right.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Amen. Brother Hagin tells another story. This is my last story. We're going to go home. All right? Is that all right? Brother Hagin tells another story, and I love this one. He said, he was preaching for this pastor and his wife, and the pastor's, I think it was the pastor's wife's brother, had cancer, and, he had 6 months to live. They said the doctor told him you don't even have to think about dying at least for 6 months. And so they asked Brother Hagin to pray for him. Brother Hagin said, I went over to pray for him. He said, I laid my hand on him. And he said, I just felt like, my hand get moved off his head. So he thought, I must have been pressing too hard on his head, and he moved my hand. So he said, I did it again. He said, I felt that again. He said, so I thought, I'm not pressing that hard. So he said, I watched this time. He said, I just felt like it was like a physical hand moved my hand off his head. He said, well, it wasn't the guy doing it. I didn't see anybody. He said, but it just felt like something was moving my hand off his head. Well, how many know the Lord's got power to do a lot of things, right? And he said, when that happened the third time, he said, I just inside of me, he said, I'm still praying for the guy, but inside of me, I'm talking to the Lord. And he said, Lord, what is this? He said, the Lord said to him, he said, this man has not lived right for me over 3 weeks in a row. And for 40 years, he hadn't lived right over 3 weeks at a time. He said, he's right with me right now. He's got his house in order. It's the best time for him to come home. He'll be dead in 2 days. Brother Hagin said, well, you don't really want to tell his sister that. But she said, Brother Hagin, did the Lord say something to you? He said, well, he said, the Lord told me. Now, Brother Hagin didn't know this. He didn't know anything about the guy. He said, the Lord told me that he hadn't lived over, I think it was maybe 2 weeks at a time, not three. He said, the Lord told me he hadn't lived right over 2 weeks at a time. Then lived for God over 2 weeks of time, lived right. And his sister said, that's exactly right. He said he ran off and living in adultery with a woman one time, and the Lord healed his back. Said he hadn't lived right. Said he'll live right for a few days, and then he said he's right now. And, the doctor said, you got 6 months to live. Brother Hagin said, well, the Lord said he'll be dead in 2 days. You know what? In 2 days, he was dead. Now, I always like what Brother Hagin said. He said, that wasn't God's best. But sure beat going to hell. See, that's what happened to my friend that got in that accident. God didn't, that wasn't what God wanted for him, but sure beat him dying lost. Amen. See, sometimes we don't know everything. How many know that? The Bible says the secret things belong to the Lord. Amen. We got to keep our words right, man. We got to talk right over our life if we want to see things. We want to have peace. It's just as easy to say it's going to work out as it is to say it's not going to work out. It's just as easy to say I'm healed as it is to say I'm not going to be healed. Come on. It's just easy. I'm not talking about putting anything on. I'm talking about speaking in line with God's word. It's easy to say it's going to work out. Then it's not going to work out. It'll work out. Well, how's it going to work out? Well, that's not my part, and that's not your part. That's God's part.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.